course, live, developed by Twitter from Matches. Doable, very, very doable now, no doubt about it. Live player ratings, that will be interesting. Not player ratings at the end of the game, but player ratings you can check during the game. I think that would be interesting too, and again, most people in this room will know immediately the technology to do that is pretty easy to do now. And then what I would call the view from the ground for major events like the World Cup. And I can see, or I'm imagining that we'll see a lot of that this year from the World Cup. We'll see fans' blogs, which will be followed, if they're good, over as much as major journalists. So again, I don't think there's any really great surprise there. I'm a big cycling fan, and for those of you who are into cycling, you'll know that it is perfectly possible to see the VO2 readings for most major cyclists online. They're now publishing them. So there is extraordinary degree of transparency in the sport, which is riddled with drug abuse, to what the cyclists are doing, their fitness levels, etc., etc. I think it would be interesting to see that in football. You know, very interesting on almost a real-time basis, which is where cycling is going, for sure. Then, looking further ahead, it's not difficult to imagine in 2-3 years' time, or even when technology gets there, having an argument with Mason Pub and saying, no. Bobby Charlton's goal in 1967 in the European Cup final was it, and I'm going to show you now off YouTube on a Pico projector in the pub. I can see that too. And lastly, and perhaps slightly less seriously, thinking about augmented reality, which is something I'm quite keen on, I can easily imagine augmented reality comments on the quality of pies at different British football stadiums, which if you're a British football fan, you know what I'm talking about. Of course, it would be poor sandwiches at Old Trafford. This is not a revolution. It's just not. It's interesting, it's good, but I don't think it's a revolution. In 2002, there began to be a lot of talk about the wisdom of crowds, and actually, I didn't know this, but it was only a couple of years later that the book came out, so the talk about wisdom of crowds came out in 2002, well before James Whitty produced the book, mainly, when he produced the book, and what he was talking about, which was very, very interesting and absolutely captured my imagination when I sat there, was that in a lot of cases, you can prove that crowds know better than the expert. And one of the legendary case studies was, you take a stock market analyst, and usually the crowd knows better. And the evidence for that is that over the long term, short term, brilliant analysts can beat the market. But generally speaking, I'm talking generally, so you will, I'm sure there will be people who know of exceptions, the analysts cannot beat the crowd over the long term. And there are reasons for that. When the crowd, for example, has diverse information, when they're not run by one person, but it's relatively decentralized, when they have some method, and think mobile here, of getting to a collective verdict rapidly, and when they can act reasonably independently. And again, for those of you who sat in the football crowd and heard what's called lovingly in Britain, the bloke behind you, even if he supports your own team, you know that football supporters don't follow the opinions of the people around them, but are very capable of coming up with their own opinions. And often are really bitterly fans from the same club over what's happening. So I think football fans satisfy all these criteria. And it was when I saw and read about this theory that I thought, my God, that could apply to football. And then I thought, if that's the case in football, does that mean the 45,000 people at Stamford Bridge every week know more about who should be playing than the manager? And that felt like a really big thought. And at the time, we were just set up field, and we were squatting in the offices of a company called iPod, who specialise in football rights management of one kind or another. And I shared this thought with them, and the first thing they said was, that's completely stupid. And they walked away. And then 5 minutes later, one of the guys walked back onto my desk and he said, it's not stupid, it's brilliant. And they knew people in football, so together we started thinking about it. And the first thing I came up with is that fans should control the key decisions that are made about who plays every week. I'm not talking about who's bored, I'm not talking about what the players eat, I'm talking about who walks out onto the pitch in the starting 11. And they can do that through the web and through mobile. The technology is there, it's not difficult to implement. So none of this is difficult to implement. And then I thought, God, wouldn't it be brilliant? Because I think the crowd does know this. If the crowd can demand who gets substituted immediately after half time. And as soon as a legitimate majority of people with